Chapter 10, The First Cheetah in Life. Time and again there are cheetahs arising which experience different objects through the senses and through the mind door. There are seeing or hearing. There are cheetahs with attachment to what is seen or heard. These cheetahs arise because of different conditions. Seeing and the cheetah with attachment to visible object do not arise at the same time. They are different and they perform different functions. We will understand more about cheetahs if we know in what order they arise and which function they perform. Each cheetah has its own function. In Pali, Kicha. There are 14 functions of cheetah in all. The cheetah arising at the first moment of life must also have a function. What is birth? And what is it actually that is born? We speak about the birth of a child, but in fact, there are only Nama and Rupa which are born. The word birth is a conventional term. We should consider what birth really is. Nama and Rupa arise and fall away all the time, and thus there is birth and death of Nama and Rupa all the time. In order to understand what causes birth, we should know what conditions the Nama and Rupa which arise at the first moment of a new lifespan. What arises first at the beginning of our life, Nama or Rupa? At any moment of our life, there have to be both Nama and Rupa. In the planes of existence where there are 5 khandhas, 4 Nama khandhas, and 1 Rupa khandha, Nama cannot arise without Rupa. Cheetah cannot arise without the body. As a footnote, there are different planes of existence where one can be born, and not in all of them are both Nama and Rupa. In some planes there is only Nama, and in one plane there is only Rupa. End of footnote. What is true for any moment of our life is also true for the first moment of our life. At the first moment of our life, Nama and Rupa have to arise at the same time. The cheetah which arises at that moment is called the rebirth consciousness or Patisandhi cheetah. As a footnote, Patisandhi means relinking. It links the previous life to the present life. It is usually translated as rebirth consciousness. But since there's no person who is reborn, birth consciousness would be more correct. End of footnote. Since there isn't any cheetah which arises without conditions, the Patisandhi cheetah must also have conditions. The Patisandhi cheetah is the first cheetah of a new life, and thus its cause can only be in the past. One may have doubts about past lives, but how can people be so different if there were no past lives? We can see that people are born with different accumulations. Can we explain the character of a child only by the parents? What we mean by character is actually Nama. Could parents transfer to another being Nama which falls away as soon as it has arisen? There must be other factors which are the condition for a child's character. Cheetahs which arise and fall away succeed one another, and thus each cheetah conditions the next one. The last cheetah of the previous life, dying consciousness, is succeeded by the first cheetah of this life. That is why tendencies one had in the past can continue by way of accumulation from one cheetah to the next one, and from past lives to the present life. Since people accumulated different tendencies in past lives, they are born with different tendencies and inclinations. We do not only see that people are born with different characters, we also see that they are born in different surroundings. Some people are born in pleasant surroundings, and some people are born in miserable surroundings. In order to understand this, We should not cling to conventional terms such as person or surroundings. If we think in terms of Paramita Dhammas, we will see that being in pleasant or miserable surroundings is nothing else but the receiving of pleasant or unpleasant objects through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body sense. It is kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka. Vipaka, result, does not arise without conditions. It is caused by good or bad deeds, by gamma. Different people perform different gamma, and each deed brings its own result. The fact that people are born in different surroundings must have a condition. It is conditioned by gamma performed in a previous life. Gamma causes one to be born. The Padisandhicitta is the result of gamma. It is vipaka. In this world, we see different births of people and of animals. When we compare the life of an animal with the life of a human being, we notice that being born an animal is sorrowful. It is akusala vipaka. Being born a human being is kusala vipaka, even if one is born poor or if one has to experience many unpleasant things during one's life. The Padisandhicittas of different people are of many different degrees of kusala vipaka, because the kusala gamas which produced them were of different degrees. At the first moment of our life, gamma produces the Padisandhicitta, and then rupa has to arise at the same time. One may wonder what the cause is of the rupa arising at the first moment of life. We see that people are born with different bodily features. Some are strong, some are weak, some are handicapped from birth. This must have a cause. It is gamma which causes both nama and rupa to be born. Could the rupa we call dead matter and the rupa we call plant be produced by gamma? A plant is not born because a plant cannot perform good and bad deeds. It has no gamma that could cause its birth. Temperature is the condition for the life of a plant. As regards human beings, gamma produces rupa at the moment the Padisandhicitta arises. There couldn't be life if gamma did not produce rupa from the first moment of life. There are four factors which produce different rupas of the body. As we have seen, gamma is one factor. The other factors are citta, temperature, and nutrition. Gamma produces rupa at the moment the Padisandhicitta arises, and after that, the other factors also start to produce rupas. Temperature produces rupa. If there were not the right temperature, the new life could not develop. Temperature produces rupa throughout our life. As soon as the Padisandhicitta has fallen away, at the moment the next citta arises, citta too starts to produce rupa, and it produces rupa throughout our life. Furthermore, nutrition produces rupa so that the body can grow. It produces rupa throughout our life. Thus we see that there are four factors which produce rupas of the body. As regards rupas which are not of the body, but rupas outside, such as rupas in dead matter or in plants, these are produced solely by temperature. Gamma produces rupa not only at the first moment of life, but throughout our life. Gamma does not only produce the vipaka cittas, which experience pleasant and unpleasant objects through the sense doors. It also produces throughout our life the rupas which can function as the sense doors through which objects are received. Could we, for instance, create our own eye sense? It could not be produced by temperature, only by gamma. Transplantation of the eye cannot be successful unless gamma produces iSense in the body of the receiver. Birth by way of the mother's womb is not the only way of birth. We learn from the teachings that there can be birth in four different ways: by way of the womb, by way of eggs, by way of moisture, and by way of spontaneous birth. People would like to know when life starts in the mother's womb. We cannot determine the exact moment. Life starts at the moment the Patisandhi Chitta arises together with the Rupa, which is at the same time produced by Gamma. A lifespan ends when the last Chitta, the dying consciousness, Kuti Chitta, falls away. So long as the dying consciousness has not fallen away, there is still life. One cannot know the moment of dying consciousness of someone else arises and falls away, unless one has cultivated the knowledge of the chittas of other people. A Buddha or someone else who has cultivated this special kind of knowledge could know the exact moment of someone's death. We may wonder which gamma in our life will produce the Patisandhi Chitta of the next life. Some people believe that by doing many good deeds in this life, they can be assured of a happy rebirth. But the gamma which produces rebirth will not necessarily be from this life. We have in the past lives, as well in this life, performed both akusala gamma and kusala gamma, and these gammas are of different degrees. Some gammas produce results in the same life they have been performed. Some produce result in the form of rebirth consciousness of a future life, or they produce result in the course of a future life. We have performed deeds in past lives which could produce rebirth, but which have not yet come to fruition. We cannot know which gamma will produce our next rebirth. If akusala gamma produces the rebirth of the next life, there will be an unhappy rebirth. In that case, the chittas which arise shortly before the dying consciousness are akusala chittas, and they experience an unpleasant object. The Patisandhi Chitta of the next life, which succeeds the Kuti Chitta, the dying consciousness, experiences that same unpleasant object. If Kusala Gamma produces the rebirth, there will be a happy rebirth. In that case, Kusala Chittas arise shortly before the Kuti Chitta, and they experience a pleasant object. The Patisandhi Chitta of the next life experiences that same pleasant object. People want to know whether they can ensure a happy rebirth for themselves by controlling the last chittas before the Kuti Chitta, by inducing them to be kusala. Some people invite monks to chant at the deathbed of a dying person in order to help him to have kusala chittas. However, nobody can be sure that his rebirth will be a happy one, unless he has attained one of the stages of enlightenment. One cannot have power over one's chittas. Can we control our thoughts now, at this moment? Since we cannot do this, how could we control our thoughts at the time shortly before dying? There is no self who can decide about his rebirth in a next life. After the last akusala chittas, or kusala chittas in life, have fallen away, the Kuti Chitta arises. The Kuti Chitta is succeeded by the Patisandhi Chitta of the next life. When the Patisandhi Chitta arises, a new lifespan starts. So long as there is Gamma, there will be future lives. The Patisandhi Chitta performs the function of rebirth or relinking. It links the past to the present. Since only the first chitta of a lifespan performs the function of rebirth, there is only one Patisandhi chitta in a life. There is no self who transmigrates from one life to the next life. There are only nama and rupa arising and falling away. The present life is different from the past life, For there is continuity in so far as the present life is conditioned by the past. Since the Patisandhi cheetah succeeds the Kuti cheetah of the previous life, the accumulated tendencies of past life go on to the Patisandhi cheetah. Thus, inclinations one has in the present life are conditioned by the past. The Patisandhi cheetah is the result of a previous good deed or bad deed committed in the past. The object of the Patisandhi cheetah experiences is, as we have seen, the same as the object experienced by the last Akusa cheetah or Kusa cheetahs which arose before the Kuti cheetah of the previous life. The Visuddhimagga 17, 164-168 explains by way of similes that although the present is different from the past, there is continuity. The being who is born is not the same as the being of the past life, but it is conditioned by the past. There is neither absolute identity nor absolute otherness, as the Visuddhimagga explains. We read with regard to the Patisandhi cheetah, and I quote, "An echo or its like supplies the figures here. Connectedness by continuity denies identity and otherness." And here let the illustration of this consciousness be such things as an echo, a light, a seal impression, a looking glass image, for the fact of its not coming here from the previous becoming, and for the fact that it arises owing to causes that are included in past becomings. For just as an echo, a light, a seal impression, and a shadow have respectively sound, etc., as their cause and come into being without going elsewhere, so also this consciousness. And with this stream of continuity, there is neither identity nor otherness. For if there were absolute identity in a stream of continuity, there would be no forming of curd from milk. And yet if there were absolute otherness, the curd would not be derived from milk. And so too with all causally arisen things. So neither absolute identity nor absolute otherness should be assumed here. End of quote. One is glad to be born if one does not realize that birth is the result of gamma, and that one will go forth in the cycle of birth and death so long as there is gamma. Not seeing the dangers of birth is ignorance. At this moment, we are in the human plane of existence, but so long as we have not attained any stage of enlightenment, we cannot be sure that there will not be rebirth in one of the woeful planes. We all have performed both akusalagama and kusalagama in different lives. Who knows which of those deeds will produce the Patisandhi cheetah of the next life, even if we continue doing good deeds. Some people think that birth in a heavenly plane is desirable, but they do not realize that life in a heavenly plane does not last, and after a lifespan in heaven is over, an ill deed previously performed could produce a Patisandhi cheetah in a woeful plane. We read in the Discourse on Fools and the Wise, middle-length sayings 3, 129, that the Buddha, when he was staying in the Jeta Grove, in Anathapindika's monastery, spoke to the monks about the sufferings in hell and about the anguishes of animal births. The Buddha said, and I quote, "In many a disquisition could I, monks, talk a talk about animal birth. But it is not easy to describe in full, monks, so many are the anguishes of animal birth. Monks, it is like a man who might throw a yoke with one hole into the sea. An easterly wind may take it westwards, a westerly wind may take it eastwards. A northerly wind may take it southwards. A southerly wind might take it northwards. There might be a blind turtle there who came to the surface once in 100 years. What do you think, monks? Could that blind turtle push his neck through that one hole in the yolk? If at all revered, sir, then only once in a very long while. Sooner or later, monks, could the blind turtle push his neck through the one hole in the yolk? More difficult than that, do I say, monks, is human status once again for the fool who has gone to the downfall. What is the cause of that? Monks, there is no Dhamma fearing there, no even fearing, no doing of what is skilled, no doing of what is good. Monks, there is devouring of one another there, and feeding on the weak. Monks, if sometime or another once in a very long while that fool came to human status again, he would be born into those families that are low, a family of low caste, or a family of hunters, or a family of bamboo platters, or a family of cartwrights, or a family of refuse scavengers, in such a family as is needy, without enough to drink or to eat, where a covering for the back is with difficulty obtained. Moreover, he would be ill-favored, ugly, dwarfish, sickly, blind or deformed or lame or paralyzed. He would be unable to get food, drink, clothes, vehicles, garlands, scents and perfumes, bed, dwellings and light. He would fare wrongly in body, wrongly in speech, wrongly in thought. Because he had fared wrongly in body, speech, and thought, at the breaking up of the body after dying, he would arise in the sorrowful ways, a bad burn, the downfall, Niraya, hell. This, monks, is the fool's condition, completed in its entirety. End of quote. The Buddha spoke about the dangers of birth in many different ways. He said that birth is dukkha, sorrow. It is followed by old age, sickness, and death. He pointed out the foulness of the body, and he reminded people that also at this very moment the body is dukkha, impermanent, and not self. If we continue taking mind and body for self, there will be no end to the cycle of birth and death. We read in the Kindred Sayings 2, Nidana Vaga, Chapter 15, Kindred Sayings on the Incalculable Beginning, Chapter 10, A Person, that the Buddha, when he was in Rajagaha on Vulture's Peak, said to the monks, and I quote, "Incalculable is the beginning, monks, of this fearing on. The earliest point is not revealed of the running on, fearing on of beings, cloaked in ignorance, tied by craving. The bones of one single person, monks, running on, fearing on for an aeon, would be a cairn, a pile, a heap as great as Mount Vipula, were there a collector of those bones, and the collection were not destroyed. How is this? Incalculable is the beginning, monks, of this fearing on. The earliest point is not revealed of the running on, fearing on of beings, cloaked in ignorance, tied by craving." Thus spoke the Exalted One. After the welfare had said this, he spoke further. The pile of bones of all the bodies of one man who has alone one aeon lived were heaped a mountain high. So said the mighty seer. Yes, reckon high as Vipula, to north of Vulture's Peak, crag forth of Magaha, when he with perfect insight sees the Aryan truths, what dukkha is, and how it comes, and how it may be overpassed, the Aryan Eightfold Path, the way and ill to abate, 7 times at most reborn, a man yet running on, through breaking every fetter down, and maker does become of dukkha. End of quote. It is fortunate to be born in the human plane, where we can cultivate insight. When the first stage of enlightenment, the stage of the Sotapanna, has been attained, the Four Noble Truths have been realized, then we will not be reborn more than seven times, and we can be sure that there will eventually be an end to rebirth. Questions for Chapter 10. 1. How many functions of citta are there in all? 2. The four classes, jatis, of citta are akusala, kusala, vipaka, and kriya. What jati is the patisandhi citta? 3. Is birth as a human being always the result of kusalagama? 4. When does human life start? 5. Why is birth sorrow, dukkha? End of chapter 10.